Can I call the meeting to order? We have the roll call.
Yvette Itu.
Here.
Bruce Rinker.
Here.
Dan Moore.
Here.
Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We hope.
All right. Can I get a motion for approval of the May 14th minutes?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
We were going to skip the financial report. We'll come back to that if you don't mind, and if we can get into the new business, the swearing in of the officers.
Good morning, everyone. This morning we have the honor and privilege of swearing in a new police officer and a promotion. Chief, if you'd like to do the swearing in of the police officer of Dwayne Smith first, that would be wonderful.
Take it away, Chief.
All right, good morning, everybody. Another great day for the Cleveland Metro Parks Police Department and for the Cleveland Metro Parks Organization. Just want to take a moment to thank all the officers of our great department for showing up. You standing here speaks volumes with our solidarity and our commitment to excellence, so thank you so much. Two greatest honors as the Chief of Police. Number one is offering a new individual his opportunity to start a career with law enforcement. And number two is swearing in of an officer that's moving up from patrolman up through the ranks from sergeant to lieutenant, captain on. And I get to fulfill both of those obligations today, so I feel extremely honored. So Dwayne Smith and Sergeant Corey Reese, would you come forward, please? Just a little background on Sergeant Corey Reese. He has 10 years of law enforcement experience, bachelor's degree from Youngstown University. He's in the Ohio Army National Guard from 2010 to 2016. From there, he went to NASA in security from 2014 to 2017. Started his law enforcement career with the Lorain County Metro Parks as a park ranger.
From 2015 to 2017, and then he went to the Five Rivers Metro Parks to continue as a park ranger from 2018 to 2021, and has been with the Cleveland Metro Parks Police Department since 2021. Dwayne Smith, very interesting individual. He's a very accomplished tattoo artist, having a midlife crisis, so he decided to bail on that and become a law enforcement officer, which is a fantastic, fantastic thing. He was the owner of Eclectric Tattoo Parlor in North Ridgeville, and is our newest officer getting sworn in today. So,
Corey. Want to raise our right hand? I and state your name.
I, Corey Reese.
Do solemnly swear or affirm?
Or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
And the laws of the United States of America.
And the laws of the United States of America.
The Constitution and the laws of the State of Ohio. And the rules and regulation of the Cleveland Metro Parks.
And the rules and regulations of the Cleveland Metro Parks.
And I will discharge the duties to the best of my ability.
And I will discharge the duties with the best of my ability.
Of the office of, and state your position, you would be sergeant and police officer.
Of the office of sergeant.
Police officer. To which I've been appointed.
To which I've been appointed.
I will faithfully carry out and implement.
I will faithfully carry out and implement.
The policies enunciated.
The policies enunciated.
And the instructions given to me by the Board of the Park Commissioners.
And the instructions given to me by the Board of the Park Commissioners.
Of the Cleveland Metro Parks District.
Of the Cleveland Metro Parks Park District.
This I promise to do, and I shall swear unto God.
This I promise to do, and I shall swear unto God.
Congratulations.
Dwayne, who did you bring with you today?
Billy.
That is? Very good, thank you.
We see your work. Is that your work?
Yes, it's my work. Just in case you guys didn't see us, I brought it.
Corey, who did you bring with you today before you take off? That was really quick of you. No, you can address the crowd.
There you go.
Thank you. We will take care of the recommended action on the top portion of page 9, the swearing of Officer Dwayne Smith. Recommended action to appoint him to a full-time police officer.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the swearing in of Sergeant Corey W. Reese in accordance with a full-time police sergeant, Cleveland Metro Parks, mid-portion of page 9.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We can now go back to the financial report. You're all welcome to stay, or you can transition out if you'd like. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you. Just give it 1 minute to clear. We have the financial report.
Thanks, Commissioner Itu. David's going to bring up the PowerPoint, which we look at every month, and I'm always a little disappointed when I see that room full of people, and then when it comes our turn to present the financial statements, they all leave.
It's shocking, isn't it?
It's shocking that no one wants to stay.
What's that? Marstate.
Okay. So I'm going to report through the first 5 months, and it's at a high level, commissioners, we've talked about this time and again, property tax. You can see through the first half settlement, we're down about $1.3 million. It's 2.4%. And this is all driven by delinquent taxes. You've probably read about that in the newspaper. We've been in contact with the county fiscal officer and the county executive's office to really just understand what's going on with delinquent taxes. Who are they? What's the problem with collections? As many of you know, I held that position some 12 years ago, and it was an issue then. And just finding out what the county's plan is, because that impacts not just the Cleveland Metro Parks, but every political subdivision within Cuyahoga County if delinquencies continue to rise. And so we're keeping a close eye on that. And as we get into the budget next year, we will incorporate whatever we understand as far as property tax payments and delinquencies into our projection. The other item that I did highlight, and this will come up in all the individual reports, is that charges for services are down a little bit. They're down about 9.8%, $1.3 million. And you're gonna hear this time and again, whether it be our golf operations, whether it be the zoo, it's all the weather. And as I came in, I heard reports that the weather's turning, and then we see this today. So this directly impacts our profitability in many of our operations. So that'll come up time and again. And then I did wanna point out, many people might see the construction expense of $17 million. We touched on this last month. There's a number of things that are going on that we talk about all the time. Primate Forest, Hinckley, Hawthorne Parkway, the work at Seneca, Garfield, the Sailing Center, the Lakefront Parking Lot, Heritage Boat Docks, Washington, and the golf course. So all of those projects are going on right now, and that's why that's up from where it was last year, just based upon the amount of work we're doing. But if we could, we'll just talk about the zoo quickly. You can see that's down $700,000. Again, it's weather driven. And that was also impacted by the adjustment we talked about way back in January, where the payment to Artistic Holiday Design for Wild Winter Lights happened in January this year. So that had a negative effect. But I did want to raise up, we can get, sorry, I went forward. Let me go back. we can get focused on the negative, and I thought it's important to point out a couple things that are actually going really well, and that would be our education programs at the zoo. Their revenues to date through the first 5 months are up 32%. Lots of signups, lots of camps, lots of kids down there. So even though the weather's not great, they're doing extremely well. And our rentals and our event income, you can see that's the $87,000. That's a 24% increase. So doing a great job of marketing our space and getting special events down there. So I don't want that to get lost on, geez, the weather's bad. We all know that. There are some things that are really going well at the zoo, and we're just keeping our eye on everything that's going on. I did highlight the restricted expenses. The bulk of those are due to the ongoing work at Primate Forest. The $6 million is pulling up to Primate Forest. Golf, again, May 1st, May rounds were down 15% compared to May of the previous year. Year-to-date rounds are down about 12%. The upside is that revenues are only down about 6%. So even though rounds are down 12, we're finding ways to fill that gap in terms of the number of rounds being down, and we made modest increases in our costs or our charges last year, so that's helping. And again, we're keeping an eye on that. We looked at rounds through the first 15 days of June, and they're holding their own. They're down a little bit again. I mean, we just, this rain needs to go away so that the golf courses can get more play going on. But all in all, we're not disappointed. We're disappointed in the weather, but we're not disappointed in the operation. They're operating well, they're controlling expenses, and they can't control the weather. There were two golf courses that I did want to point out. Mastic Woods is actually ahead of where it was last year. It's the only golf course ahead of where it was last year. And Sleepy Hollow is very, very close. And I did want to point out, when we did April's report, Sleepy Hollow year-to-date was running at a deficit. It's turned the corner in May, and they have a lot of outings coming up. Their play is pretty steady, so let's hope June's good. July, August weather get better, and it just catches up with where it should be. So we watch each golf course individually, and they're all behind where they were, but that's to be expected, given where the weather is. Enterprise. The one thing, and this might have caught some of the commissioners' attention, hey, why do we have a negative number in May in docs? And that's because we had two refunds. And it's a sad thing to point out, but we did have one of our dock owners who passed away. Well, obviously, you make a refund. But we quickly re-rented those spaces, and so that will show itself later. But that's the whole reason that was negative, is that we had some refunds that we had to put out. And we'll talk individually about some of the operations at Enterprise now. You can see the two marinas. Still doing well, but just when you compare it year over year, they're a little behind, and that's just the timing on when they're paying their dock rentals. Mm-hmm. These will catch up, and Merwin's is running ahead of where it was last year at this point. And if you look at the revenue line, we're down due to weather, but the big savings is they've really controlled expenses, given where they were last year, which drives that result. And again, June's the month, June, July, August is where we turn things, and so we're hopeful for all of our enterprise operations. And then, you know, weather can work in your favor. Winter was a tough winter this year, and the chalet represents that because it's ahead of where it was year to date because it had a great January and February because the weather was just so poor. And then lastly, I just bring up the nature shops. It's always there. This is real easy to explain. We're down $102,000 year over year. Last year, the solar eclipse sales were $109,000. No solar eclipse last year. The numbers are tracking pretty consistently. So all in all, we're down. We'd like to be in a better spot, but it's because of weather. We can't control that. And so we're continuing to monitor expenses all of the time, talking with Brian, talking with all of the operational managers and with Joe's team. And they're doing the best they can out there, given the circumstances they're in. So at this point, I hope by the end of June, we can come back with a little better report. We can see ourselves turning the corner.
Is there anything in the Trump cutbacks that affect us?
The one thing that could affect us is the way they're looking at grants and evaluating grants and if they impact things like DEI. But to date, we've had no direct cuts that we've noted, but we're monitoring that. And the one thing we're going to talk about, we talk about the budget, and we've been on calls. Changes happening in the state of Ohio relative to real property taxes will directly impact us. And so we have to incorporate that into our thinking in next year's budget, but nothing that's directly impacted us yet.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, commissioners.
We will move into new business. Just as a point of order, we did swear in Police Officer Dwayne Smith. We also swore in Sergeant Corey Reese. We do have two retiring guests, of which neither were able to make it. I'm guessing Lori is probably camping, although with the weather, it's hard to say. But we do have two employees that served almost 50-plus years for Cleveland Metro Parks. Mary Kodabash from Administrative Assistant. She was most recently in the Brecksville Reservation. She worked for us for more than 18 years. We very much appreciate her professionalism and her work to service not only the customers of Cleveland Metro Parks, but to help out in the Brecksville Reservation. We also have Lori Mullins, Human Resources Coordinator. Lori worked for the Cleveland Metro Parks for more than 31 years. She worked in many different capacities across, and most recently in the Human Resources Department. She was very engaging. She was one of the first points of contacts for most of our seasonals that came through the Cleveland Metro Parks. She played a detailed role in the personnel files, recruitment, scheduling, tracking police department work. We very much appreciate Lori's contributions to Cleveland Metro Parks as well as Mary. The resolution recognizing both of them falls in the bottom portion of page 10 for Mary and Lori for their years of service to Cleveland Metro Parks.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next is budget adjustment number 5.
Thanks, Brian. Commissioners, you'll find budget adjustment number 5 on page 11. It's in the amount of $829,240. The detail for the adjustment is on pages 43 and 44. I would point out that $490,000 is an increase in appropriations related to a grant from ODNR, and $250,000 is an increase using existing golf course enterprise revenues for golf carts at Sleepy. Those are the two primary large adjustments this month. I would ask your approval.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next is the proposed 2026 alternative tax budget. Wade?
Thanks, Brian. Commissioners, on page 12, you'll see the proposed tax budget we submit to the county each year. We have to submit that in July. We had a hearing on that June 10th. And the 2026 proposed appropriations are merely what's already in our 10-year plan. We don't look at modifying that until we get more data on the current year and we start going through the budget process in late August, early September, bringing forward then the budget to you in December for consideration and discussion in November and approval in December. So by law, we have to present this to the county, and this is right out of our 10-year plan, and it's on page 12.
So at this point, no adjustment based upon the delinquent tax issue or anything we're hearing about at the state level. Those will happen later in the year.
That's correct, Commissioner Tu. When we looked at this, we felt there's no need to make an adjustment yet, depending on what they do in Columbus in the next 2 weeks relative to the state's budget and the impact. If it's inside millage or real property taxes, we may have to make modifications, but we won't know anything until the budget's passed by the legislature.
Thank you.
Can I move the motion?
Yes.
Okay. Second. Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you so much. The next is a action item F, project partner agreement. This is Hawthorne Creek Stream and Wetland Restoration. This is in South Chagrin. This is under the Ohio Stream and Wetland in lieu of fee mitigation program. I believe this is the first time we've worked with a group in this fashion, the Nature Conservancy. This particular project is doing a number of different things, including working through 11,700 linear feet of stream restoration, an approximate area of almost 40 acres. It's essentially working to remove a lot of the impediments or man-made items that would have been relative to the golf course. Jen is here. I'm going to put her on the spot. She has worked very diligently in retooling this. Jen, anything you'd like to add to this wonderful program? Again, this is a project that's in lieu of fee. The Nature Conservancy has funds, and they are willing to use them on our particular project.
Thanks, Brian. This is a project that we've been pursuing for a number of years and have applied to other grant funds, but based on the total cost of the project, this was one of the only mechanisms that would allow us to get the work done. And we're really looking forward to this new partnership with the Nature Conservancy.
Excellent work. Recommended action. The tentative timeline is to have design phases through 25 and 26, construction hopefully in late 27 and early 28, lasting about 3 to 6 months. So it's really the linear corridor right through the middle part of what would have been the old golf course. Recommended action falls in the top portion of page 14 to enter into the project partner agreement.
Brian, can I ask one question?
Yeah.
So the Nature Conservancy will be paying for this. That's sort of unusual, isn't it?
Well, they have, the way I understand it, they have created a mitigation bank. So they mitigate someplace else, and then they collect a fee. Then they need to put a project on the ground. So they score those out. And as Jen said, this has been going on for, you know, a number of years that we've tried to find, I would say, different ways to either soften, remove, revet areas along the golf course. So that's essentially what this project is. So they're bringing funds from another area that's applicable to our project.
Terrific.
It's a great project.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is change order number one, bid number 6925, Timberlane Farms Barn Roof Replacement. This is another, you know, just great example of our teams doing a fantastic job. The original bid came in. We right-sized it to what we felt we could afford. Bids came in better, and we were looking at the useful life of the rest of the building. Our teams have done a number of additions, including a bathroom and stable and tack area, locker room area. Now we're preserving the roof that's on this wonderful facility. This was a project that was taken on a number of years ago. This is for our mounted unit. We are able to now cover the entire roof based on what we found from the structure, and we didn't need additional money, so we're going to re-roof the entire barn so it will be preserved, and then we can figure out our next steps. Recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 14 to execute the change order for $45,864.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is a unique, it's change order number 26923, Seneca Asphalt Path Improvements. We went through it in our capital stack meeting yesterday. It's just one of those things where it's a symptom of weather and previous construction. Most times we would believe we would have lifts of asphalt with 2 and 2 or 1.5 and 1.5. However, it happened to be we found asphalt that's less than an inch in most places. And so a lot of it went by the wayside. So we've had to reconstruct a number of these different areas. So this is on the Furnace Run portions, the outside portion of Seneca, completes the 27 holes of cart paths, which is a very good thing considering how much the gravel actually damages the cart. So we're working to finish that while we're doing construction on the other side. So this is the change order to accommodate the areas that we deemed wetter than and the structural stability. So we've had to do a number of different things. So we have a revised change order of $80,431, bringing that contract to $501. Recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 15.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next is RFP 694, Three Horse Stables Operations. This has been going on for decades. Our teams have re-roofed the facility out there. We've done heated viewing areas. We've done all sorts of different improvements over the last number of years. This is a absolute love of labor for their group. Cleveland Metro Parks does benefit with a number of our outdoor recreation programs that do get to use it as well. There is remittance that is listed in the recommended action. They have done an excellent job for the 15 years plus that I've been here. The recommended action to enter into the agreement for 3 years plus a 3-year option falls on the bottom portion of page 16 into 17.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
As we continue to find dollars, we've been very successful. This is an authorization to submit grant applications and commit funds. NatureWorks grants programs in Brookside, Hinckley, and North Chagrin. These happen to be different areas, so that's why we're able to apply through Ohio Department of Natural Resources, the NatureWorks grants. We've been very successful. One is for Meadow Ridge Picnic Area to replace the existing playground. Hinckley is the loop trail. This is down in Medina County, including 4,700 linear feet of floating boardwalk. And the last one in North Chagrin, which is Lake County. This project will replace a trail bridge in the Hemlock Trail area and remove barriers that have created some accessibility issues. The recommended action to enter into those agreements, Cleveland Metro Parks normally puts time, labor into it as our match. So each project is detailed for $150,000 and $33,000, falling in the mid portion of page 18.
Move the motion.
I'm sorry, real quick, Brian, we're applying for the grants, right?
Okay. Applying, yep.
Okay.
Authorization to submit, yep.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Euclid Creek, this is RFQ 6938, Euclid Creek Greenway Extension, Phase 3 and Phase 4. This has been a project that Cleveland Metro Parks identified more than a decade ago. A lot of wonderful things have happened, including the return and restoration of the former Euclid Central Middle School, which is detailed on the map there. This group, Sean, can come forward and highlight a few of these things. This was under the RAISE, Rebuilding American Infrastructure Sustainability Act. We continue to, our goal is to complete this. We long thought that this would be one of the hardest things to do, but we've been blessed with positive funding and outcomes that have created this linear connection, linking one of our original 9 reservations to the newly acquired, now not so newly acquired, 13 years ago, Euclid Creek Lakefront Reservation. Sean?
Thank you, Brian. Good morning, Commissioners. So what's before you today is a request to authorize us entering into a contract to design the portion of trail fully for construction from Chardon Road here up to St. Clair. In addition, we're asking to perform due diligence for this next section of trail through North Collinwood. We received about $1.5 million of RAISE planning funds, and what we did with those funds was we created construction documents for the Slavic Village Downtown Connector and the Morgana Run Connector, and then we did initial planning for phases 3 and 4 of the Euclid Creek Connector. So now that we've done the planning, we can enter into the stage of creating the construction documents for stage 3, which is fully funded for construction. So once we actually do the construction documents, we'll move right into construction. We will need to raise some additional funds to finish design of stage 4, and then we are actively looking for construction funds as well for stage 4.
Sean, a question. How do you plan phase 4 then? You're going to run right alongside a road.
We are. So we did extensive community engagement, and we did preliminary engineering. We would run under the railroad tracks here at NEF. We've actually worked with the city of Cleveland where they would give it, that's a two-bay bridge, if you will, under the tracks, and they would actually give us one and let the other one go for traffic. And then under I-90, there's sufficient room, and then we'd work within the right-of-way along NEF and then down Marsala. And there was an incredible amount of public engagement on this route, especially to pick the Marsala route that has some ample room in the right-of-way.
The green area underneath the Marsala, where it says Marsala, is that people's backyards, or is that something that's owned?
So if we had the parcel lines on, you'd see that a lot of these parcels are deep, and they actually, so this is Euclid Creek. Years ago, the Army Corps of Engineers kind of armored and hardened the creek back there, and that's all private property.
It's all private?
It's private property.
Okay.
Want to inquire?
So what's before you is the request for engineering for this phase 3 and then due diligence for phase 4.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you so much. The next is GMP number 11, guaranteed maximum price, or contract amendment number 11, guaranteed maximum price number 10, 1543, Gorilla Primate Rainforest Edition. This is going to be a continuum until we finish this project next year. There are a whole host of things that are all listed in the change order, which I will not go through each and every line item, but they are covered, and it is covered under our total contract value. The recommended for the change in the amount of $4,528 sits in the mid portion of page 24.
Move the motion.
Second.
Can I ask if we were a surprise that we only received one responsive bid on this? Is that what I'm reading here?
Commissioner, I think you're on the next
Am I on
item?
The wrong item?
You are. And
this one is a continuation with Higley finishing the gorillas.
This is gorillas.
The next one has two, J.D. Williamson and Shermer.
Oh, it might be two items ahead where we have one, or the previous item. Actually, the previous item that we just looked at for Euclid Creek, we had one proposal for engineering services, and that was likely due to the fact that it's the same firm that did some of the planning, so there wasn't a lot of
My apologies.
Competition.
All right.
Yes.
CV is good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I have to reset my page now. Award of bid 6854, Cuyahoga County West Creek Greenway Trail bid award. This project has been worked on diligently for, I would say, since 2020. We've been working collaboratively since 2022 to build the extension. This comes off of Camelot Drive all the way into Broadview. This is in the West Creek Reservation. This is a result of a number of different acquisitions through West Creek Conservancy and Cleveland Metro Parks Partnership. This connects the lower part of the reservation westward or eastward. So it's been a very positive thing. There's been funding from PARMA, Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality, to improve through ODOT, pass-throughs through NOAACA. West Creek Conservancy obtained $729,000 from the Clean Ohio Green Space Conservation Program. We were awarded almost $300,000 in Transportation Alternative Program with toll revenue. So this is a true partnership. We have worked through diligently on all the site, and we are here to recommend a contract with J.D. Williamson Construction as the lowest and most responsive for $1,600,956 to build this trail from the lower part of West Creek Reservation all the way over to Broadview Road. This is, again, when you look at the core values on the wall over there, part of the mission of conservation. We've protected the land first, and now we're connecting the land across. And on the other side is Seven Hills. This leads up into their recreation facility and all the way to the towpath eventually.
Connectivity.
Recommended action falls in the mid portion of page 26.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is an award of single source 6955. This, I just must preface, this is if we get the funding. We wanted to be preemptively because the project is actually moving already. We've been working diligently with other funding sources, the Jack Joseph and Mort Mandel, but this is a preemptive because if we are given the award, we need to be able to move quickly. And so if we get the funding, we will continue with this. This is a cost not to exceed for Michael Baker to for $188,000 for engineering and lighting design. This is to continue the project from East 55th all the way to East 9th to East 55th, which is about 3 miles and 1.3 miles the rest of the way to provide lighting. Recommended action falls in the mid portion of page 27.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is the Euclid Beach Connector. This is a project development agreement. This has been a project that sits back to the previous administration of the county executive, Armin Budish. This is protecting 2,550 linear feet of Lake Erie shoreline in North Collinwood, Shore Acres. It is an extension of the Cleveland Metro Parks Trail in the Euclid Creek Reservation. It does a number of different things of revetting private property and public property that include the sewer district and the city of Cleveland and Cleveland Metro Parks along the way. This project development agreement, a number of funds have come from the city of Cleveland, other planning organizations, donations, and this is essentially the project development agreement that allows for the work that the county has requested to do, partnering with the city of Cleveland and then Cleveland Metro Parks, assuming the continued maintenance of it and not the capital for the Euclid Beach Connector Trail project in the city of Cleveland on the east side. Recommended action to enter into the project development agreement falls in the mid portion of page 28.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is award of bids, commodity uses report, uniforms, topsoil, asphalt concrete, a new truck with an aerial bucket, various grains and wireless voice data services. The recommended actions falls on the top portion of page 29.
Second here. I'm not excluded here, am I?
No, you're good on this one.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I appreciate you paying attention to that. That's very good.
What a concept.
The next is the approval of vouchers and payroll.
Thanks, Brian. Commissioners, on page 39, you'll see resolution 25-06-084 in the amount of $16,001,606.51, listing the vouchers that have been reviewed as to their legality. All expenditures conform with the Ohio Revised Code, and I would ask your approval of those vouchers from May.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, are we at public comment?
Do you have anybody?
Good, Norm.
All right, next.
The doctor will see you.
Hi, my name is Norm Plonsky from Major Hoopoles, neighbor to Irish Town Bend Park Project. I've been here many times trying to save parking that would be good for my business and for the public to enjoy the park. But the Metro Parks plans do not want to compromise and would rather have three paths running parallel to each other in a very small space. Today, I'd like the Metro Parks to give back the street parking on Franklin across from Hoopoles that they now use for a bike path. This could be done since you have plans to redesign the intersection there and are taking over the property next to the bike path. I ask this because the Metro Parks took the street parking away, and this cost my business over $80,000 a year in sales, which hurts a small business. When you took this parking, you sent out a memo to ODOT and others justifying this process and made special reference to Hoopoles in it, which I will read a statement from it. The preferred alternative eliminates 15 parking spots along 350 feet on the opposite side of Franklin Avenue from Hoopoles. Hoopoles will have ample on-street parking available for its patrons to use along the remainder of Franklin Avenue to West 25th Street, some 1,400 feet. And there is also on-street parking available on both sides of more than 700 feet on Columbus Road. There are currently no other businesses located on the south side of the river in the vicinity within 1,000 feet of Hoopoles. There's a space approximately for 100 on-street parking spaces in addition to the spaces that will be maintained on the south side of Franklin nearest to the bar. But now you have redesigned Franklin, which was a 66-foot wide road with street parking and sidewalks down to a 20-foot wide road with no parking on the south side, which you referenced in your memo would be there. This now has taken away 60% of the parking, which the Metro Parks said would be there when they eliminated the 15 prime parking spots across from Hoopoles. Now the Metro Parks and the great image that they are so proud of have the ability and the land to right this situation, which would be good for Hoopoles and the public to enjoy the park and a win-win for everyone. I hope you choose this option and do not hide behind plausible deniability and say we had no involvement with the design process, because those are the actions of an organization that does shady deals that are questionably legal for their own good. One last thing, Franklin Road can reopen in the fall. I was told the Metro Parks want to keep it closed for their convenience. Can we reopen Franklin Road for the public's convenience? Because I know as soon as the path to Whiskey Island is ready, there will be a ribbon cutting ceremony and the rest of the park will still be under construction. Any questions?
Is there possible to see a slide of that, of what we're talking about here? I know we're not prepared for it, but
yeah.
I have trouble visualizing it.
What would you like to know, sir?
Well, I'd like to be able to understand the fact that we can't get a bike path through there and keep the parking. But
if you know anything of Hoopoles, when you look out our windows, there's Franklin Road. We have parking on our side of the street. We used to have parking on the other side. You have that little connector that's, say,
it's across Franklin.
It's on Franklin on the north side of the road. And you eliminated that parking to put a bike path. That's the connector from the Red Line Greenway to the Lake Trail, I do believe, or Centennial Trail. And then there used an empty piece of property that is not ours, but now it's the sewer department's, and public and everybody's been using it for your trails. And we've been using it for over 40 years, basically property that no one cared about, and we cleaned it up. You're going to put a bike path through that, cutting right through the parking lot, and then down on Riverbed Road, you're going to put another bike path there. And then in the future, you're going to put a boardwalk. So between us and the river, say that's 50 yards, there's going to be three bike paths and a boardwalk all in that area. Now, I understand you guys are never going to give me the parking lot that's the abandoned property, and which would be a nice buffer for people to go to the park, but getting those 15 spots would be nice, because one, your park is going to be a beautiful thing, but I don't know many people that are going to want to pay to park up at the West Side Market and walk all the way down to the park to get to it, or walk over from Merwin's Wharf, which your restaurant does good business by what he was saying, in the summertime, which will already be full, and walk over to the park. So you're going to have a beautiful park that the only people that are going to be able to get there are the ones that live in the neighborhood.
Can I ask a question about the on-street parking? So there's on-street parking on Columbus, and will there be on-street parking on Franklin?
There's going to be just the 15 spots on Franklin that I already have on the south side. You're going to have two bump outs up the hill that I think adds up to 20 spots. And on Columbus, you can say there's about 50 spots, but now I have neighbors on the street that all have one-car garages and two cars. So you eliminate all that parking. Now, no other business is there, but neighbors do like to park their cars near their house. So it's just making it difficult. And like this week, when the Metro Parks does their function over at Merwin's Wharf for the concert series, there will be cars everywhere, parking wherever they possibly can be. I now have to put up a private parking sign for my apartment building that I own next door so people don't park there.
And just logistically, so folks understand, this is also like within a quarter mile of like 600 housing units that are being put up on Scranton Island Peninsula?
Correct. That will be open. Some will, 300 units will be open by November. They already started moving in people. Then another 300 units will be done by, say, July of next year. And you have now people building houses into the hillside on Carter, which you guys are going to try to redesign. And those people are going to have one-car garages with nowhere to park their cars. So you're bringing a lot of people to the area, which is a great thing, but nowhere for them to be happy when they get down there. Just would like a compromise to work with everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions or comments? Thank you. Marty.
I guess I should be relieved that those police who were here earlier weren't iced, because otherwise I would be gone.
Are you illegal immigrant?
I don't think that matters anymore. If they don't want you there, you're gone.
Citizenship, right?
Sadly. Two of my frequent topics are safety and finance, which now converge at the barge. Money is allocated today to address access and mooring, both critical issues. The present connecting dock certainly does not appear safe for school kids, much less an adequate access for safety forces if needed. And the mooring point nearby shows some mighty questionable looking metal. Not surprising, given that the NETSCO assessment, done a year before Metro Parks' purchase and not updated, describes modifications done with, quote, without regard for ABS standards or U.S. Coast Guard regulations, and, quote, weld connections that would not meet ABS standards. Yipes. No wonder so many of the records supplied to me were totally redacted. Likely they would not have withstood close scrutiny. Well, the excuse given was that redactions met the 149.43 for security reasons. Blacked out, redacted pics of voids. How is that worthy of redaction unless it indicates conditions which might deter purchase? Connecting with kids with the lake and integrating that with STEM is admirable, but it could have been done for far less, with the difference going for more programs reaching more people. Instead, you have already sunk, perfect term, huge amounts of money into an over 100-year-old boat that has to be supported to keep it afloat. And it demands further extensive R&R to safely accommodate visitors and give classes. Not to mention predictable future upkeep, like those set asides needed for docks and all infrastructure maintenance. Was this some deal that Hickey pushed over drinks and cigars as he tried to offload it? Speaking of, in total contradiction of Metro Parks' own employee policy and focus on health It appears you're selling cigars at the golf courses. Your own employee handbook and well-being programs emphasize a smoke-free workplace and nicotine-free employees, so the general public can endanger themselves and pollute the air for others. Highly questionable. Whether it's conservation or health or fiscal management, you need to lead by example. Thank you.
Marty, on the first comment you were making about the dock structures, I assume, is that the one by Merlin's Wharf? Are you saying that we didn't get a permit for that?
The barge itself.
This is at
just the barge, but how about
Euclid? At Euclid.
Okay.
The barge is out of
No, no, but before, the very first thing you talked about was we were putting in a dock. I thought you were talking about the one.
No, I did refer to the fact that as you've emphasized, we need to be aware that docks can be expensive to maintain, and you have to expect that you will have future maintenance on docks due to the water.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, yeah, okay, but you're
referring only to the barge itself.
Okay, thank you, okay.
And just to correct the record, the redactions that were in responsive to that public records request were made in line with the infrastructure exception and completely credible and legitimate redactions.
I think the other thing to highlight too is that it may have been an oversight. And Wade, we did lose an IMLS grant, which was actually designed for programming in that particular area. So it was a federal grant that they abolished the entire division. And so Wade's had a lot of things on his plate, so he may have just forgotten about that one in particular. But that area was specifically designed to be able to enhance, and it was just under $400,000. So we continue to find ways to educate. If you look at that park in particular, with the work that Western Reserve has done, the work that we're doing to kind of grow that, partner potentially with the library, and adding these other areas, there's only one shelter in that entire area that accommodates. So if you've got a group underneath there that's using it, and you've got a lunch program and it rains, you have no place for anybody to go. So this was a great alternative to get people on our Great Lake. It's been received very well from the philanthropy side. And so, yes, we did buy a barge. Yes, we are on a Great Lake, and we will continue to improve that.
Very good.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Lijon Odom. I'm currently working at the lakefront. I met with Brian Zimmerman yesterday, which I told him I would like to address those who had their name on that in which I was demoted, which I said was unfair to me as a person who has been with the Metro Parks for 19 years. And demoted, not only demoted, but it takes away from me doing my service in the church by the schedule which they've given me and saying I have no seniority to bump anyone else because of a voluntary. My whole thing started off as a complaint with my management. And that's the whole thing that in which I talked to Harold Harrison about endangerment of my life, which I felt it was endangerment not only to my life, but to the public. I had an incident a couple of years ago at the Acacia Park where the manager did not put proper help over there for me to work with, which prior to that had multiple helpers over there. But when I got over there, it was taken away from me, and I would have to work over there by myself. I had a heat exertion, not a heat stroke, where I was lightheaded, threw up, and just almost passed out. And I called my manager and told him. He told me he doesn't have anyone to come over there to give me help or send me back home to bring me. And mind you, I'm at Acacia, and he's at North Chagrin. That's 7.8 miles. He told me I have to drive the vehicle back over myself in order for me to go home. So driving that under those circumstances, like I told him, I was very lightheaded, headaches, and I just threw up all over the place. He refused to send me help or send anything, which endangered not only my life, but the public's. I'm not going on what could have happened, but should that vehicle been on the road, and I don't think it should have. Last year, I was stung by a bee's nest of multiple bee stings, over 100 stings to the back of my head and my back. I called the manager again. He said, you have the choice. You can go home or you can go to Concentra. He asked, was I allergic to bees? I said, I don't know. I've never been stung by a bee. He said, well, that's your choice. You can go home or go to Concentra again. Now, Concentra from there is to Willoughby, from Acacia to Willoughby. Again, the question is, should that parked vehicle been on the road with me under those conditions? I came back after I couldn't be treated because I was driving a vehicle. The drip, they couldn't give me the Benadryl. The RN said she didn't want to release me because, again, I should have had that because of the multiple bee stings to my head and to my back. But she said, if you go to the hospital and get the drip, what you need, the medication, what you need, you I'll let you go. I did that. I went back, returned the vehicle to Brad, and Brad's first comment was, they didn't say you were going to die. I thought that was very insensitive. I thought that was very, very, very insensitive to the point of what happened and the measure of the danger of my life that not only I was put in, but the public was put into also. Again, should the vehicle have been on the road? From that point on, I was put on a PIP plan at the beginning, which is a improvement program, which he said I needed. At the beginning of January, he said it would be for 3 months. I said, okay. And I didn't understand why I was being put on that. He said, I lack the duty in helping out and implementing assignments to other people who would come over there to me. And my answer to him was, I have 155 acres that you have put me over here by myself to manage. I can't stand side by side by workers who you sent over here to do the jobs. But I will show them, which I did. I showed them and gave them clear instructions to do it. They didn't finish the project, so it was left on me. And those projects would be a lot, because it ended up building up for the whole week, which I'm in now I'm responsible for the whole park now, where now he's not sending no one else back over there for 1 or 2 days to help finish the project or them finish their projects. But now I have to do that and continue to manage 155 acres, which is not done nowhere in the Metro Parks by any one employee. I repeatedly told him the danger of me being over there by myself. I've even asked him to just send people over there for half a day to help me. And he still hasn't done that. He's done only what he wanted to do, only to basically make me quit. And that's the way he has been since I received this promotion to be at Acacia Park. I also told him that because of this, this is putting me at risk at all times to anything to happen. And again, that's not the way of the Metro Parks to put a person at risk, to be an individual worker from that many distance from the other park that's there to take care of. My whole concern is this constantly practicing of this is not going to be good to unless someone end up dying or an example of a bad injury. That bee sting was a very bad injury to me. I never had to have an EpiPen. Now I have to carry that. That was inflicted on me by recklessness and endangerment of my life. Not only my life, but the public. I've called Harold Harrison and asked and told him this, what's going on. And I told him because prior to this, we have been down to the Ohio Civil Rights before with the Cleveland Metro Park. I have a couple times. And then I told him, I said, I expressed the concerns which we had over there, which another worker which he had in the Last Chance program, and some of the things what had occurred over there, which were, to me, was racially motivated by the manager, by allowing it, by not reporting the people that was affected by this. One was Christine, one of the workers who was threatened by employee. What they did, they moved him to another reservation, but he did not get demoted, but I got demoted. He also had his other, he got put on last chance. The other one who was over there, Sean, who was on last chance, he took the garbage cans off and dumped them over for another person of color to do his job, which was a seasonal. Mind you, this is a 60-something-year-old man doing, helping out the park to come at his time to help out with the park. Brad made him just go turn the cans out. He never received a write-up or anything. He didn't even report that, which on last chance, it should have been reported. It was never reported. The next were those two, what he did with me. And he did not even report to Chuck that when I had the heat exertion, I had to report that. That should have been reported. Until the second time of the steam, that's when Chuck found out about this. But again, they suspended him. But I think the removal of him because he's in danger to people of color. And the last but not least, he used Harold Harrison's name to intimidate me because he said, on each time, Harold Harrison wanted to fire you. It was me who wanted to keep you. And I told Harold, and Harold said, I never said that. I told him he has to give you a fair chance. I said, well, Harold, that's the reason why he keeps hovering this over me, because he knew we had passed of that. So he wants to use it to intimidate me. So he didn't think I would ever confront Harold Harrison. But again, as a man of God, that's my duty. With this demotion, what it takes away from me is my place of worship, where I worship. And I'm active in my church. I baptize every Sunday at Cleveland Church of Christ Citadel Hope Ministry. I'm part of the security team there. And this would, I asked them, okay, I'll take the demotion, but allow me to have my Sunday where I can do this. They said, no. I said, after 19 years, no. No, you can't have that because it's a voluntary thing. I said, but I have seniority, but it doesn't count with volunteer. To me, that's unacceptable. I put my time in. I've done the job. I did the COVID thing. My wife incurred COVID twice because I'm working, and she encountered it. Again, these things have not been pleasing to me, and I think that, and I ask that I be restored, because this should have never happened. They started saying now from me having to do the PIP improvement plan, the PIP improvement plan was me to work with other people and give them, and which Brad said, you have to stay with them through the project. I said, if I stay with them through the project, I will not get work done. That's going to make the park manageable or for the public to see and without complaining. He said, well, still, that's what you need to improve on. And that's what so he said he would send Lynette Turner to do the investigation. In doing that investigation, Lynette Turner, I called Harold in September. I got a response back in December from Lynette Turner saying that she has a report. She wants to go discuss my complaint now.
Mr. Adam, I mean, we have a time limit for public comment. So if you could wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
So like I said, I just believe that this was handled wrong. I don't think this was fair on my part as a person who has been with the company 19 years. The reason why I came here because your names and Brian Zimmerman's names were on that paper which I should be demoted. And I called the judge, and the judge said, go to present it here. And that's why I'm here, to come to the board meeting to present my case to you guys. So in all fairness, if you say wrap it up, that's what I'll do.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. I'm going to defer to legal, but I don't think we should be talking about personal matters in an open meeting. Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay.
Very good. We will move into Government Finance Officers Distinguished Budget Presentation Award. No one from downstate came today, but I do want to recognize for the 33rd consecutive year, Cleveland Metro Parks has won this award. It is an extremely, it's the dedication of our entire staff to be able to present the budget in this fashion to receive the 2025 budget Government Finance Officers of the United States and Canada. Congratulations to Wade and his entire finance team here at Cleveland Metro Parks. Let's give them a round of applause. The next is the 2023 Community Impact Summary. Kelly, Harold, and the team have done it. Harold, you're looking good. It's a nice accessory.
I asked Dan Moore for his scooter.
the community, got a motor on it.
The 2025 Community Impact Report. Harold, first of its kind.
Good morning, everyone. So if you recall, Commissioners, about a year ago, I talked about this concept of coming up with a community impact summary or report. And so we're at a point now where I think it's ready to be disseminated to the public. But it is a opportunity. See, a lot of times around Cleveland Metro Parks, we do a lot of great things, but we never look in the rear view mirror. We always keep going forward, and then we forget about where we are and what we've done in the past and accomplished. So I thought this was a great opportunity. This came about because I was looking at past accomplishments, and I came across many, many things, and I had forgotten about them. Right, and said, wow, we did that, we did that, we did that. So in a hallway conversation with, I caught Kelly Manderfield in the hallway, and I said, what about this concept, right? And then she assembled a team, brought someone from HR, they started getting information from across the entire park district, and this is how all of this came together. So the purpose of it, there we go, is to document, evaluate, and communicate the positive contributions and initiatives that we've made to the community. I highlight community because the community gives to us to survive as an organization. So we're going to show them what we do to provide services to the community. So it's a two-year look back, 2023, 2024. It's going to come out in June of 2025. The reason why it's 2 years, because you could not do this in 1 year, because there's so many things that are multi-year. You would need a staff to do this every year if you wanted to come out with a report every year. Again, it started in the hallway. I make a joke about working from home. This probably would not have happened if we were working from home, because I wouldn't have run into Kelly in the hallway, and this is how this all started, in the hallway. We decided that it was a nice strategic connection to the six core goals that we have that are spelled out in the stewardship systems plan that was approved, I think, 2020. Those core goals came out. And so we came up with this report. And again, you see, I gave the commissioners what I would call the printed version of it. I sent you a low-resolution PDF of it, but that is probably 99.5% where we're going to go with it. There's a few tweaks that we're going to make to it, but let me say this. So Kelly and I got a group in a room, but we basically stepped out of the room. And I have to give a lot of credit to the individuals that are listed there, because they really came up with the design, the concept, the verbiage, everything, and next thing you know, you have that document in front of you. So there are a couple individuals. You got Jennifer, Beth, Dan. Where's Dan? Dan, and who else? Jeff. So yeah, and then Kelly's in the back. So they deserve all the credit for doing this. I'm up here talking about it, but that's the group that really put this together and put it, you know, the rubber hit the road with them. So the next steps, we're going to tweak it a little. There's a picture or two we may change, a color or two we may change. The problem is every time someone looks at it, they make a change. So we got to draw the line in the sand and just move with it. And at some point, we're going to send it out to the community, provide it to the key stakeholders,
key stakeholders that provided resources for us throughout those couple years, and we're going to use it as some sort of document to highlight the successes of Cleveland Metro Parks. Any questions?
I think this is fantastic, what you've done here. The concern I have is community impact has sort of a different meaning to a lot of people. And for example, the clinic has a community impact thing. And it does a lot of the stuff. It's verbiage, but it does a lot of the stuff that we've had in documents before, where we're saying that we said property values are going up and it's attractive in this way and that way. I just wonder if we could boil some of that verbiage into this, because this is really innovate, conserve. These are our missions. Mm-hmm. But the community impact is something that's a little bit different than what our mission is. Do you follow what I mm-hmm. mean? So if we could put, do we have to do a separate community impact statement?
This okay. is the first of its kind, and this is the first iteration that the team put together, and I think we can continue to build behind it. But you want a document that you can add to somebody and they can digest it in a careful fashion. So I think we'll take your suggestions and try to.
I think it would be interesting to look at, let's say, the clinic, University Hospital, they both have them, and it'll give you sort of a flavor of what people are expecting when they, it's prompted by the IRS, and they're wanting to be able to prove that we are in fact a value to the community.
Very good.
We all know we are.
How often are you anticipating in this? This is 23, 24.
So it's every 2 years, so I would imagine the next one will come out in 27.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you, Harold. There is no other information briefing or policy items. There is no old business. The next regular scheduled meeting is July 17th, and there is an executive session for the purpose of acquisition of real property. Rose?
Is there a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of real estate? Acquisition of real property.
Yes.
Second. You move?
Do we need a roll call?
Yeah. He said it.
Okay. Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Executive session? Oh, are we on? Move to come out of executive session?
I think we just moved to adjourn.
Thank you. Move to adjourn.
So we're out of executive session.
All
move to
favor.
Adjourn. Second.
Thanks for all the corrections.